96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. New energy and young faces could soon be in your child's classroom. The United Negro College Fund is steering HBCU students and graduates in K through 12 classrooms. It's inspiring the young learners who may be looking forward to the promise of a college education of their own one day. Well, tonight, we're talking about how this works, considering education controversies have been in the headlines quite a bit of late. And so this is a very, very pertinent and timely issue. My guests are Talia Givens. She is Director of Student Programs with the United Negro College Fund Walton Fellowship Program. Sekou Biddle is the National Director of Advocacy. And Kalia Murray is a 2015 Walton Fellow now working in the D.C. public school system. If you have a question or a comment, and I'm sure you will, considering the importance of this particular issue, lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you're welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, so let's talk first about what this is. It's a fellowship, and UNCF is essentially taking these HBCU students and putting them in the classroom. How does that work?
So the fellowship program, well, thank you for having us here.
Sure, absolutely.
Good evening. The HBCU students get an opportunity to be a part of the Walton UNCF K-12 fellowship when they are juniors. You have to be a junior to actually apply. And it was actually started to really address the issue of making sure that we get more African-Americans into the pipeline of to become leaders in education reform. So through the internship and fellowship experience, they are learning many things that they may not already know about, not only what it means to educate students, but also the policy and advocacy work to make sure that they are part of the work that's happening around the country to improve schools.
When you say education reform, give me an example.
Making sure that education is equitable, that no matter what your geographic location, that a student will be able to get quality education from the time that they are in preschool all the way through high school.
Mm-hmm. But Sekou, this isn't just about, the brass tacks of education. What you're doing is you are putting HBCU students, mostly, African-American students,
yep,
in front of children who need to see them.
Absolutely. We're doing that, but we're also putting, African-Americans and young HBCU students during the fellowship years, and then when they graduate as alumni, into the professional education ecosystem. And so we're putting them in front of young people, students in schools, so that they're going to see people like them and potentially role models of what they could be, because we do want to inspire students in school today to see HBCU graduates and see the pathway for themselves as young people growing up. But we also are putting young people who've recently had their own important K-12 experience and experience in our HBCUs in the education system so that we have a different perspective. I think that it's important for us to recognize some of the reasons we're not getting the outcomes we want for children today is we don't have enough people with enough well-rounded perspective on all the different needs that the ecosystem requires and that children need today. Part of it is having students like them, but part of it is also having the voice inside organizations that have a different perspective than sometimes we've had in education.
What do you mean by that, voice inside different organizations?
Yeah, I think we're seeing this in a lot of sectors, and education is certainly one of them. There are not enough people in education today that look like or come from the places that many of the students that need a quality education are coming from. And so we're looking particular, at low income, first in their family to go to college, but also African Americans in particular, having an experience being leaders and being vocal advocates for the need to improve education. Because quite frankly, the students who need more and need the best aren't getting it, but they also don't have enough advocates out there for them to help push the needle on what do we need to have to make sure that all African-American students are getting the quality education they need and deserve?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about HBCU students and grads working in public school systems with the help of the United Negro College Fund's Walton Fellowship Program. Kalia Murray is a Walton Fellow. She is a Spelman woman. She's from New Jersey. And she is working in the D.C. public school system. What are you doing specifically in the school system, Kalia?
I am currently a pre-kindergarten teacher at D.C. Prep, the Anacostia campus.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean for those who don't have any little ones or whose little ones are walking, talking, driving, and looking for jobs?
So for me, that means that I am molding the minds of young 4 and 5 year olds, teaching them the basic foundational skills, how to read, how to write, how to look and identify numbers, teaching them the basic foundational skills that they'll need throughout their education.
You know, it's interesting. You say that you're molding, you know, the minds of these really young people. For you personally, what does it mean to be able to do that?
To me, it's very impactful. Every day, once I go to work, I see the lasting impact that I'm having on my children's lives. They ask me, you know, well, what did you want to be when you were a child? What do you aspire to be? And for me to be able to share those things with them and encourage them to share their thoughts with me as well is really impactful.
And that's what I was going to ask you next. Did you always want to be in education?
At first, I did not. During my undergraduate career, I was a political science major, and I used to volunteer at an after-school program named Raising Expectations. And throughout the program, I got to work with young children. In the past, I had done different extracurricular activities involving kids. I have a lot of children in my family. And I kind of gotten on the path of, you know, how could I couple political science with education? And I wanted to get on more of an education reform track, and then I was able to apply to the fellowship, what even furthered my thoughts as well.
Interesting. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Walton Fellowship Program through the United Negro College Fund. It is putting HBCU students, graduates, into public school systems to give these young students an image, first of all, of educators, budding educators, new educators, energetic young faces. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call. Victoria, calling on the line. Thanks for calling, Victoria. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening, everyone.
Hey, how are you?
My name is Victoria. Good. I've been enjoying the show so far and the music before the show, so it's been a fun evening over here. But I'm Victoria McDougald, and I'm a research manager at the Thomas B. Fordham Institute here in D.C., and we are the fortune of being a UNCF Education Fellow host organization. So I just wanted to call in and hopefully, you know, share my story about why we're such supporters of the program.
And, please do. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, what we see as the benefits of the program. So we've been big fans of the Walton UNCF K-12 Education Fellowship for a while now. I think we've had at least over 5 years of fellows since I've been at Fordham. And it honestly is such a pleasure to be able to support this program that has such an important mission. And I think really the real reason is that in the same way that we know that all students benefit from being in diverse classrooms, the education reform movement as a whole really does benefit from having more and diverse voices and perspectives in it. Mm. And I think that this fellowship is a wonderful way of getting those additional voices and more representation from people of color specifically into the movement.
Well, Victoria, thank you so much for your phone call. We appreciate your comments. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk a little bit about getting into this program. What are the requirements for someone who is interested in becoming a Walton Fellow?
So, you, as we said earlier, you have to be a student attending a historically black college or university. You must be a junior at the time of application with a 3.0 GPA, not a 2.88, a 3.0 GPA.
Mm-hmm.
Must be a U.S. citizen. And then one of the great things about the program is that you can be any major. We take students from all majors and all backgrounds. And the reason that is because, as our last caller, they are a think tank. Thomas B. Fordham Institute is one of our major think tanks that are supporting education research. And so students, and Kalia was a political science major when she was in the program. And we want to make sure that we are actually infusing our education system with people, not only those who want to be teachers in front of the students in the classroom, but also those who want to work in policy and research and advocacy. And we are able to place students in all those different major areas. One opportunity we had a couple of times with the finance department of some school districts to be a part of the program. Out at Indianapolis Public School District, they have been supporting the program for about 3 years now, and they like to put students who are in special education department, their finance department. So we need business majors. We need technology majors. Many of our host organizations are looking for students who want to help support their communications. So students who are looking for marketing communications experience can really help in the organizations that are part of the program. So we are open to all majors, but they must have leadership. Mm-hmm. A student who applies show and demonstrate how they are a leader on their campus and how they are helping to improve their community. And as they apply, they are actually letting us know when they apply, why are you interested in education reform? Why is education important to you? And where do you see yourself in the long frame in 5 to 10 years from now contributing to the education sector in some meaningful way?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about HBCU students working in public school systems and in other education areas with the help of the United Negro College Fund's Walton Fellowship Program. I'm going to take a break in just a bit, but before I do, I want to make sure that I get some information out there for those who, if a parent, for example, is listening and their student is about to become a junior at an HBCU, or perhaps a student is listening and they're interested in becoming a part of this, how do they find out more information?
You can go online to uncf.org/Walton.
UNCF.org/Walton?
Walton.
Okay. And I want to talk a little bit more about what you're specifically looking for and the process, not to mention what the fellowship offers. Mm-hmm. Also, stay with us. Arnetta calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you in just a bit. But if you have a question, if you have a comment, lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Please stay on the line. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about HBCU students and graduates working in public school systems and other education venues with the help of the United Negro College Fund's Walton Fellowship Program. My guests are Talia Givens, Director of Student Programs with the United Negro College Fund Walton Fellowship Program. Sekou Biddle is the National Director of Advocacy. And Kalia Murray is a 2015 Walton Fellow, now working in the D.C. public school system. If you have a question, if you have a comment, we are taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Arnetta calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Arnetta. What's on your mind?
Hi. Good evening. First, I'd like to commend the panel and thank you all for bringing this topic to the forefront. My question, actually, I think has already been answered. I was calling to find out how a person could actually become integrated in the program. And from my understanding, just from coming in on a kind of back in on the topic, mm-hmm. it seems like you have to actually be registered as a student at a HBCU, and you must be in your junior year. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. At the time of application, students should be a junior, and you can attend any of our wonderful historically black colleges and universities in the U.S. To participate.
Okay, so to piggyback on that, I really think the program is so on target, first and foremost, because I live near Metro Station, and I am in proximity of two schools, and I literally do not see our people of color coming in to the off that metro to go to the schools. So we really, really need that in our community. So thank you again. But my question also is, do you have anything for someone who has majored in education, did not go to a HBCU, but they are a high school math teacher?
If they are a high school math teacher currently and they did not go to an HBCU, well, UNCF ourselves do not have a program specifically for them, but there are some, if they're interested in getting a master's degree, for example, there are some teacher residency programs that offer master's level opportunities and continued support. UDC has a program, as well as a Relay Graduate School for Education. So those are two options I would definitely look at. And Relay, for example, we are a partner with UNCF through our fellowship now. We're using partnerships with teacher residency programs, which are non-traditional tracks to get into the education space. And we are partnering together to ensure that more students, HBCU students, learn about those opportunities. So I would recommend one of those to the caller.
Okay. Arnetta, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate your phone call. 202-318-10. 202-319-7810. Jackie calling from Woodstock, Maryland. Thanks for calling, Jackie. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you for having me. I was calling to see, now I know that the students at UNCF graduates are in the schools. If they're in the high schools, is there some type of internship program or some type of track that they're giving information to those high school students to allow them to enter into this program?
Great question. When we go out and do our recruiting, we are typically recruiting at colleges, but oftentimes our outreach team is going out to high schools. When we talk to high school students, we're really talking a lot about some of the high school scholarship programs that we offer. When we talk to our high school, do our high school outreach, and a part of that, because this program, you have to already be at the junior level in college to actually participate. So most of our outreach and promoting the opportunity does start with the college level student, but you will often see our outreach team at high schools that talking about, here are the opportunities to just get to college, because as you know, UNCF wants to make sure that you get to and then through college as our major pillars of work. But we want to continue to spread the word about this opportunity so that students who are interested in going into education will know that, one, there are scholarships out there for you. In addition, there are internships out there for you. And we have, in addition to our education program, UNCF is a wonderful internship provider for college students.
Okay. Jackie, thank you so much for your phone call. To her point, Sekou, sometimes the informal message from those graduates that are part of this program and end up in, you know, classrooms, or if not classrooms, exposed to young people, gives them an opportunity to talk about the HBCU experience, whether you're talking about pre-kindergarten or you're talking about 11th and 12th graders who are still trying to make a decision.
Absolutely. And, you know, as an HBCU graduate myself, I'm a graduate of Morehouse College. I think it's extremely important
for
us.
Right. Yeah, I went to Morgan, but you guys were
so. And I love all our HBCUs. It's extremely important for, you know, what we know, and from the research that we've done at UNCF for the last several years, we know overwhelmingly in the African-American community, parents and students see college going as their academic aspiration and end goal. And in order to help see them through to their end goal, we've got to make sure that we're promoting as many paths to college as possible. We also know that HBCU students and graduates tend to do very, very well post-graduation from HBCUs. And so we think it's important in the legacy of UNCF for the last 74 years in both supporting our network of private HBCUs, supporting students financially to go to college, is we want to marry the interest that people have in going to college with the inspiration and the case for why they should go, with the supports to help them get there, finance their way through and on to a career, like people like Kalia are doing now, that are now giving back and helping promote better futures for another generation of students. Because there are so many young people today in school, whether it's in pre-K or whether it's in high school today, that don't necessarily know the path and don't know the way to get from where they are right now to where they really want to be. And so I think that, you know, a lot of times the public misdiagnoses what they're seeing in kids' behaviors, thinking they don't value education, when the problem isn't that they don't value it. People overwhelmingly value education. The problem is they don't know the path. They don't know, you know, which courses to take, what the critical decision points are in their K through 12 journey. And so having more people in schools who can help promote that, more people who can tell their own personal story about how the school that they chose for college helped accelerate their path on to career are so vitally important. And once again, having young people that come from similar backgrounds to the students in the schools is just, we just can't overstate that. I mean, I think about my first year teaching, you know, I met my students the first day of school out in the schoolyard, standing there in line in front of a group of sixth graders. And the first student in my class standing there looks up at me and she goes, "Oh, wow, you're the first man teacher I ever had." And this is someone who's 7 years into school, has never had, you know, an African-American male teacher. And so programs like this are just vital because we bring in a more diverse and, you know, like Kalia just said, we're helping direct young people who maybe didn't think when they walked into college that they were going to pursue careers in education, explore and determine, is it something they want to do? And what might be the way for them to appropriately engage? And we help them, you know, help support them on the path to doing that. And then, you know, we have ongoing work in the program that helps young people throughout their career plot the course to fulfilling career in education, that helps them fulfill something that they personally want to do, but also help them give back to communities that they really want to help support.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kalia, walk me through your experience, and I've got a little time, and I want to give you an opportunity to kind of tell the story. After you applied all the way to getting to where you are now, and certain you can give me the abbreviated version, but what was, you know, because teachers, you know, they can talk, even if it's pre-K, you know, that's what they do, they talk. So give me the rundown of how it was. What did you do?
So Talia and her team actually came to my school and they had a recruiting event that I was not actually able to attend, but some of my friends had mentioned it to me. So they were able to pass on the flyers of the information that was given. So I went onto the website. I was able to research the requirements, saw the essays that had to be completed, and I applied for the application. I believe I probably heard back within probably 4 to 6 weeks time. I remember I was actually at another internship that I had with the Georgia House Democratic Caucus, and I had received the email saying, "You've advanced, you've made it through," once I had done the phone interview. So then they would said that they were waiting to give us a placement. So they partner with different organizations, which Talia mentioned before, and they're listed in different cities. Some people were in Boston, in Atlanta, New Orleans. So it's an array of cities throughout the country. And they said that they would follow up with us once the host organizations were listed. So following that, I was put on a phone interview with Building Excellence Schools in Boston, Massachusetts. And they asked me an array of questions to, I guess, know more about me, what was my work ethic, things, aspirations I had to do further in my life. And later, probably 2 weeks later, they let me know that they would like to take me on as an intern, and that would be my final placement there.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the process, they then sent us, Talia sent us information about housing. So we were housed at Suffolk University. It was myself and three other interns. So we had almost like a duo apartment complex that we were housed in. And they paid for us to go flight there and from. And we also had a student leadership conference here in DC. So there are others, internships within the UNCF that they partner with, and we were able to participate in a student leadership conference. I believe Dr. Lomax was there. There were different workshops.
Dr. Lomax?
Yes, our president, CEO of UNCF, Dr. Michael Lomax.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
There were different workshops that we could learn about business etiquette, how to have an interview, how to have an exit interview, different things about financial literacy. And so it was an array of workshops that we were exposed to during that time. From then, we were shipped off to our internship. So then we would take a plane there. Maybe some people took a train if it was local. And the next Monday, we started our internship.
Wow. Did you have any, you know, options, you know, presented to you, or did you just kind of go where they sent you? You know, when you're talking about going through the process of, I mean, you're in D.C. now. Did you have an option to go to a city from your home state or to Indianapolis or someplace like that?
Yes, they give you the different regions that are available, and I believe you get to pick a preference of which you'd prefer. And I'm from New Jersey, so I wanted to stay kind of close in that area, and that's where I was placed, in Boston.
It sounds really, I guess I could say, fun. I mean, it really and informative. You just kind of listed some of the things that on this program we try to have discussions about, you know, almost every day. When you're talking about, you know, financial literacy, business etiquette, planning, mm-hmm. as well as dealing with some of those other more pertinent issues, exit interviews and the like. So it seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you are getting as much out of this as you are giving to the students that you are now with in the DC public school system.
Yes, absolutely. I think that this internship, among with others that I did, definitely prepared me for my career now. I think probably one of my biggest takeaways is networking, the art of networking. My dad always tells me that it's all about the network. So I think that being able to be in a room full of people and just be able to go up to them like, this is who I am. These are some of the aspirations I have, and this is what I look forward to aspire to. What else could you help me with? I don't think that I would have been able to do that without the help of this internship.
Was HBCU your first choice when you were trying to decide about going to college?
Absolutely, it was.
Did you ever think about going to a school that was not an HBCU?
Yes, I applied to an array of schools, probably about 8 or 9 to be exact. So I wanted to have some safety schools, some schools that I knew I would get in, some reach schools. But Spelman is very dear to my heart. I have probably about 20 or some odd cousins that have been there. So it's more about the family heritage. But I definitely think that going to HBCU just cultivates your experience, and you're not going to find that anywhere else.
Well, I would say the Spelman was also lucky to have you as well. I need to take a break. When we come back, more of this conversation about the Walton Fellowship and what's happening in the modern education system and what this program could do to help put a better face on it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome.com.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about HBCU students and grads working in education with the help of the United Negro College Fund's Walton Fellowship Program. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Talia, you wanted to discuss some of the other opportunities mm-hmm. regarding, you said, alums?
Right, exactly.
Go ahead.
In addition to what we offer to the students when they're undergraduates, one of the big things about this program is that we have a really strong alumni component to ensure that we are helping to support students from entry level into the education system or policy area towards leadership, because that's the ultimate mission of the program. We want to build African American leaders in education. And that's one of the reasons why this program was actually recently recognized as one of the top 10 fellowships for the summer of 2018 by profellow.com. And it's because we offer the fellowship, we offer alumni the opportunity to go to national conferences on education, some around venture philanthropy, others around education policy, others conferences, national conferences that really support our charter school movement and how to be a better educator and administrator in the charter space. If we offer these opportunities so that depending upon where that alum really wants to track their career, they can stay networked within the national conversation and the national opportunity. Some students come into this fellowship and say, hey, I want to be a founder of a school one day. Or I want to help promote policies in my local government or my state government that's in making sure that the kids in my state are getting a great education. So I want to go to law school, but I want to understand policy. So the alumni opportunities, and now I'm to come back for our closing conference, and we do workshops that are geared towards where they want to see their careers go, as well as making sure that the current fellows are preparing themselves for the next level of interview process to find their first-time job. We bring them together at the end of the summer to have a closing and alumni conference. And so the current fellows meet the alumni. The alumni get additional professional development, and they learn about the additional opportunities that will be afforded to them as alumni to go to other national events. One of the most recent ones that I really got a lot out of was the Black Male Educators convening in Philadelphia. And that particular organization, it's just, you know, they've been doing a convening for a number of years. We had some of our male alumni go to that particular conference and learn about the value what Black male educators bring to the K-12 space, into the classroom, and also support people who are administrators who are leading schools where they have male educators so that they can also understand what it means to cultivate male educators, Black male educators in their schools, either in the classroom or towards administration.
How old is this program?
It actually was started in 2009. Mm-hmm. We are have had a total of 8 cohorts, and we're about to bring in our 9th cohort this year.
When 8...
Eight cohorts of students.
Okay, so how many students per year?
We've done, when it first started, we had about 10 to 12 fellows. It has since grown. Our largest cohort over this period has been 35. And this year, we are on track to bring in our largest cohort of 40 fellows this year.
With that said, you talk about, you know, school reform and, you know, the state of education in America right now. You know, the D.C. public school system is having a great deal of difficulty. Prince George's County is having its own controversy. Baltimore is having difficulty. Just last week, we were talking about the Kerner report, the 50th anniversary of the Kerner Commission report, and we were talking to an activist in Philadelphia, and one of the things that he mentioned was that, you know, the urban decay and things that have not improved in 50 years when you're talking about urban communities, including the schools. How will this program impact the difficulties that public education is now dealing with, particularly in urban school districts?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Harold. I think, you know, there's a couple levels of that. One is the direct. Obviously, we want to encourage and support as many young people that want to go directly into, you know, frontline education work, whether it's in classrooms or in education nonprofits that are directly serving students to do that. Because, you know, frankly, we just need many more people and many more talented people working hard every day to increase and improve the quality of service to children. I mean, one of the fundamental issues in public education today we have to confront is that the challenges we're facing are that so often our schools and school systems aren't giving children what they need. You know, having served on a school board and having, you know, raised my own children in the school system, we have to acknowledge that most of our school districts in this country are budgeting based on the resources they have, and they're trying to decide what they feel like is a fair way to distribute those resources. The conversation we're not having is, what is it that children actually need to be successful, and how do we make sure we give them that?
Happy teachers.
Well, that's part of it, but we also need to give them, in many cases, more. And, you know, D.C. is a good example of what children need in different parts of the city is dramatically different. And we're not having enough honest conversation about how to make sure that we equitably distribute the resources so the students who need more get more. And so part of the, you know, outcome and goal of this program is that we have more of those young people that are in there doing the hard work, being the happy, hardworking teachers that are effective with students. But that's only part. And some of it is we need more informed people in the world, either in education nonprofits or in their other professional spaces, advocating for the kind of things that we need to have to improve outcomes for children. Because I think, quite frankly, if we really peel back what's going on and look at the outcomes for African-American children, I mean, we're not seeing the level of progress in public education for African-American students around the country that we would like to see. But a lot of that is a function of we're just not putting in the level of resources that students need to be successful. And until we honestly confront that, we're not going to really move the needle. In order to confront that, we've got to have more people who've got a perspective, some of which is informed by what Kalia is going through, like working in schools and in classrooms to honestly see what works. Because part of the challenge here is I think we don't have enough people out there advocating for what we need to do that have actually seen it work. It's harder to advocate for things when you've never seen an example that works. I think we've seen a lot of examples in our own personal lives and others where you see education really working for a group of students, and in particular working for the most needy, low-income students. The challenge is we need more young people out here with that informed perspective, forcefully advocating for that. And that's, you know, part of why we do the research work we do in the African-American community to understand what are the goals and ambitions in the African-American community around education, and what's the information they need to have around what's working, what's not, so they can make better informed decisions around where to apply pressure to policymakers, to elected and appointed leaders, to make sure that we're getting the quality of education delivered to children. Because, you know, you brought up D.C. Within the district, we've got a, you know, vast array of what we're doing in public education. Some of it is really doing great things for children. Some of it is not delivering the outcomes we need to have. But I think in order to get there, we need people doing the work day to day, and we also need informed advocates pushing up and informing others that it's not that we don't know what to do. We actually do know what to do. Can we build a public will to do enough of it for all the children so all children are successful?
Well, the reason I mentioned happy teachers is because we've seen what happened in West Virginia.
Yep.
For example, with that, you know, with that strike, teachers walking out of classrooms, being forced to advocate for themselves because and of course through their union reps, but generally speaking, teachers being forced to advocate for themselves because they don't have the resources.
Right.
And when teachers aren't happy or content with the job, then it shows in how it impacts the children, i.e. outcomes.
Sure.
As you're suggesting. And so I think that when you have, the Kalia Murrays of the world that are just, you know, starting in this, you want them to be happy, not to mention the Jims and the Steves and the Bob Murrays of the world, because that's one of the things that historically, men in general and black men, in particular have questioned is, can I start and feed my family on the salary going into this profession? And so to being able to pull them in and say, this is a, not just an honorable profession, but also lucrative is a question.
But that's one of the things I think is great about this program is that we offer opportunity for the students to understand what advocacy looks like and what it means. And everyone may not, even if they're not in the classroom, by partnering with and having them intern and with some of the advocacy organizations that are out there, Focus DC is one of our partners, and they can learn about what it means on the ground to really build community involvement. To make sure that the schools that are executing in their community are providing quality education, taking care of their teachers, and they themselves may want to be a teacher, but they, even if they don't, they have now the tools, and by working with our advocacy team, even at UNCF, to be able to, go back to their community, even their college campuses, and develop, an advocacy approach or plan. Even as a part of the fellowship, opportunity, Kalia and others get a chance to do what we call an education case competition, where we put those kind of challenges that you spoke of in front of them. And as they are out in Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., New Orleans, and Memphis and Nashville, they are studying what's going on in their community as it pertains to the challenge question. And they're trying to figure out, well, how would I solve this education challenge? How would I advocate or build community engagement? And then they build solutions around that and present those at their closing conference. So it gives them that practice of how to be a strong advocate for education, no matter what their profession may be.
Kalia, I only have about a minute left. I'll let you finish the conversation. So you're essentially just starting, but what's the next step and your plan beyond where you are right now?
Gotcha. Well, Well, I'm actually in the process of interviewing for positions in Atlanta. I'm relocating there this summer, but I definitely think that my end goal is I would like to pursue a career in policy. So I want to be an education policy analyst.
Well, good for you. Like I said, Spelman was lucky to have you. And I think this program was lucky to have you as well. Thank you so much for, you know, for sharing with us. And I want to thank all of you, Talia Givens, Sekou Biddle, and Kalia Murray for sharing this with us tonight. A very, very interesting program, and I wish you all of the success. And for those of you who are interested in finding out more about this, you can find it online at uncf.org. That's uncf.org/Walton, W-A-L-T-O-N. And of course, that website will be on WHUR.com around 8:30 or so. Again, everyone, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum. Oh, absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, March 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR.